Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shue.
We're going to focus this morning on the annual seed swap. It's coming up on the 29th, and we're going to get into all of that. One of my favorite shows of the year. This is a... It's a great event. We're going to get into that and talk a lot about a lot of outdoor things. Guy Mussey here, Stafford's extension agent, and Guy, I haven't seen you in a couple of years. It's good to see you.
You know, it's good to be here again, Ted. Yes, COVID has really put us behind about a year, but it's good to be back.
And I know that I kept hearing your name mentioned when people had about having questions and things. So I knew you were busy, but it did change a lot of things.
No, that's right. You know, we couldn't do Master Gardeners for a year, the class, but the questions still come in on gardening, on their trees and shrubs and lawns and various, you know, insects and things. We still get that throughout the year, yeah.
And Master Gardener Karen Brace is here this morning. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Ted. How are you?
I didn't ask you before the show. I mean, I think you have, there are so many titles you could have, but you are, I first knew you as a Master Gardener.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the seed swap itself did not take place last year because of COVID. Is that correct? Oh, no, it did take place. It was outside in King George.
It did, right.
Yeah.
It did not take place in 2020, obviously, but in 2021 we had just a sort of an abbreviated version outside. But this year it's back at the Rouser Building and it'll be inside. There's some things that we'll talk about we're not doing, but some things we are still doing.
Seed swap has been around now for a number of years.
This is our sixth one.
Yeah, I think I met you at about the time. I think it was year two of this. I think you'd already done a seed swap before I met you, or you'd done a couple, or you'd done one or two. But it was in the early days. But this is a great event for this area.
It is, and you know, people think that there's been a lot of publicity about seed swaps in the last 5-10 years, so people think it's sort of a new concept, but people have been trading seeds for thousands of years. They were used as currency, they were used to perpetuate species, and you know, a way for people to share knowledge, share information, community events, and that's exactly what we are trying to keep going with this. It's a great way for the community to get together, exchange plants and seeds and gardening related information and gardening related items.
Guy, this is something too, especially in this area where I think it's a lot of times people tend to think, well, we're more of a metropolitan kind of area, but most of us do some kind of gardening, and that's where that's why I think the seed swap is so popular.
Well, that's right. Just about everybody that has a home has a yard,
yeah,
and so they deal with whatever they need to do there. And usually, there's, you know, various gardens, flower gardens, or vegetable gardens. And you know, I just like to say the seed swap is much more than just swapping seeds. It is really, if you're interested in anything dealing with horticulture or gardening, it's really something that you might want to come to. Books are exchanged, the various gardening equipment, knowledge. Usually we have speakers there. So it's really a good event. And gardening is big in our area, yes.
One of the, I think the last seed swap that I was at the Rouser Building a couple of years ago, I think that was the year. Well, you did a talk one time on moles and voles,
yes.
And I learned so much, and now I'm dealing with moles and voles, and I have remembered some of the things you talked about.
Yes, indeed. Well, we could talk about just about anything, but that day we were, yes, I had a presentation that we were talking about, and you know, you know what my saying is, to catch a mole, you got to be smarter than a mole.
Yeah, yeah. Now, and you talked about how they go along, how they have they have like a highway, and they go along certain paths. And I have seen that in my own yard. And I think back and wished I had taken more notes.
Well, we try to give you research-based information, Ted.
No, it's good. It is great stuff for people that aren't aware of what you do. Your mm-hmm. your office, the Cooperative Extension office. Talk a little bit about it, because there are extension offices in counties throughout Virginia.
Yes, every county has an extension office, and it's part of and every state has it. This is part of the land grant universities, which was established in 1862 with the Morrow Act, where the federal government gave 30,000 acres of land to the states to establish these universities that would key in on more agricultural and technical things, whereas most of the universities at that time were liberal arts. And so every land-grant university now, which Virginia Tech is one, has extension offices, which is sort of their arms out into the community to help to take all that egghead information, if you will, mm-hmm. to everyday people, so that they can, it would better their life and help them out. And so that's what we do. We have agriculture. I'm an A&R agent. That's natural resources and agriculture agent. We have 4-H, which is child development agent, and then we have the FCS, family and consumer science agents, and we do programming for that. And we also do I do a lot of diagnosis, so I have programs, class sessions and things. Master Gardeners is one of them. My Smart Green Lawns program is another. But we also do a lot of diagnostic, especially through the growing season.
And you mentioned not being able during COVID to have a Master Gardeners class, and you've got a pretty extensive Master Gardeners class that you offer.
Yes, it's actually runs over three months, twice a week for three-hour classes, twice a week for 3 months, September through November. And it's more than just learning horticulture or learning gardening. It's also a volunteer, and it's a community. It really is. We have over 141 master gardeners here in Plain District 16, which includes Stafford and Fredericksburg, Caroline, Spotsylvania, and King George. So it gets to be a big – now, some of our units last year, some of the counties did virtual classes with master gardeners. I decided not to do that, because since it's more of a, you're learning, not just learning, but you're also volunteering in projects mm-hmm. to help the community, I decided you needed that personal touch. So we skipped a year, 2020, but we were able to do one last year in person, and we did it at the Stafford office. And it turned out to be really well. We had a full class, certainly.
We're going to get into all of that. We're going to talk about the Master Gardeners program in this area, and we're going to talk about the actual – when we come back, we're going to talk about what's going to actually happen on the 29th with the seed swap in Stafford. Guy Mussey and Karen Brace here this morning. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Karen Brace and Guy Mussey here this morning as we're talking about the seed swap and also the Master Gardener program and a whole bunch of other outdoor things as we go along this morning. So Guy, you were talking about the Master Gardeners class. Any of those kind of classes, whether it's Master Gardeners or any of the other kind of programs the Extension office locally is involved with, what's the best way to find out information or to sign up for this stuff?
Well, we have a website. Let me give it to you. It's stafford.ext.vt.edu. stafford.ext.vt.edu. If you go to that website, about midway down the screen, you'll see a button that says local horticulture and pesticide resources.
Okay.
You click on that, and it talks all about Master Gardener class. It talks about programs. You can sign up through that website. It also has other things about, the other programs we have in our office. But if you hit on that button, it'll be our particular program and stuff.
And you mentioned it, and Karen, I know as a master gardener, and I know several people who are master gardeners, I mean, you all give a lot back to the community and involved in a lot of different programs.
Yeah, the Master Gardeners do a lot of different things. We do the plant clinics.
Absolutely. There's over 50 projects in the community, including educational programs, informational booths at community events, plant clinics, which are held usually every week at various venues, demonstration gardens in King George and Fredericksburg and Stafford. So there's really a lot. The Master Gardeners are about education. They're sort of an extension arm for me in extension.
Yeah.
They handle even the seed swap. That's, a Master Gardener run program through VCE. Yes.
I can't tell you how many times when I'll have guests in here for something and they'll mention that the Master Gardeners came and helped with this or that. And it's always something that's a very significant thing.
And it's a fantastic group of people that are very motivated, very positive, that really want to help.
Yeah, and all ages and
yes,
that's the other one. When I've come to some of your meetings, you look around and it really is an all age kind of thing. It's not just something that you do when you retire.
No, you're absolutely right. We have we've even had teens that have taken it over years. Yeah,
which is I'm sure for somebody like you, it's just terrific that people are that interested. And like you say, they're kind of an arm for you.
Absolutely, Ted. You know, teaching a 3-hour class can be grueling, and I do that for like pesticide recertification for commercial people and all. But for Master Gardeners, it is absolutely fun because everyone's interested, and I like to engage the class, and they're always interested and have questions. So yes, it's a real win-win.
No, and if you know a Master Gardener. It's always because I think I've done this with you, Karen. Every once in a while, something will come up, and I'll throw a question to you just because I know that you kind of have an idea,
right? Or if we don't, because you know, I went through the Master Gardener program with Guy in 2014, and the program isn't designed so that you leave it knowing absolutely everything because there's no way it covers such a huge variety of topics and things like that. But the goal is that you know where to go for the information, either your Master Gardener handbook, which is 4 inches thick, or resources such as Guy, or, you know, so you're not expected to know everything when you finish the class.
Yeah, because how could you?
Exactly.
And so the group here is called, was it the Master Gardeners? It's a long name.
Master Gardener Association of the Central Rappahannock Area, MAGRA for sure.
MAGRA.
Yes.
Okay. So when you see that,
because
sometimes I'll see that acronym and I know who you are, but I'll
stand
there.
It barely fits on a business card.
I try to figure it out. So again, on Saturday the 29th, 9:30 to 1 at the Rouser Building is the seed swap.
Yes. And we ask that there's no early birds. I know people are excited to get in there, but it does, you know, Master Gardeners are going to be there very early, setting up, trying to get everything. There's a lot of moving parts. There's going to be the seed table. There's seed catalogs. There's a table with general swap items. So if you have flower pots or gardening, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you know,
tools.
Thank you. Haven't had enough coffee yet. There's going to be a table with books and magazines and cookbooks. There's a section where hopefully people are going to bring little cuttings or little baby plants to swap. So it takes a while to get everything organized and set up. So doors open at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, we're going to have our first speaker, which is Climate Change and You by Frank Riley. And then at 11:30, a personal friend of mine, Mike Callahan, who is an excellent environmental educator, is going to do his presentation on monarch butterflies.
Okay. And that's the thing about the seed swap. There are just so many things going on. Like you say,
right.
Guy said it earlier, it's not just seeds. Here, there really is a lot of information, just gardening related, and especially this time of year, you got to start thinking of this, and you got to start planning.
Absolutely, and we're also going to have a plant clinic, So if you have gardening or plant-related questions, there will be a table set up. I mean, the whole event is staffed by Master Gardeners, but there will be mm-hmm. a specific table set up where you can go and you can bring a plant that's not doing well, or you can, you know, ask gardening questions or whatever, and there'll be at least two dedicated Master Gardeners there to answer all of those types of questions.
And the seed swap is the kind of thing, the first time I went back and brought back pictures and told my wife about it, and she said, her first comment was, why didn't you take me along? She went the next year, told some friends, and then they went along with her. Mm-hmm. So it is the kind of thing that if you, and like you say, Guy, there are so many people garden.
Yes.
Most of us do.
And don't forget, it is free.
It's free.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. The one thing that we are not doing this year that we have done in the past is the children's activities. Mm-hmm. One year we had a whole area set up where a Master Gardener friend of mine brought in all of these things to do fairy gardens with. So kids or adults could make their own little fairy garden. So we're not going to do any of the children's events this year. But hopefully in, you know, next year, the upcoming years, we'll get back in.
It's in the Rouser Building, in the room you do it. I mean, you're able to spread things out, so you don't have to worry about that.
Exactly. We do ask, like I said, that the doors open at 9:30. We are requiring masks. So, you know, everybody that shows up, please have your mask.
As far as what if I don't have anything to swap, but I just want to come?
That's absolutely fine. You know, usually people have something around their house, some sort of gardening tool that you don't use, or a gardening book or a cookbook or anything laying around the house. So you can bring anything like that. But if you have absolutely nothing, you are still welcome to come and get seeds. We have some seeds donated by Burpee, the seed company.
Yeah.
I think we've also purchased some. So there's, you know, you can still get a few packets of seeds, and there's everything from fruits and vegetables and herbs. So come anyway. There's usually plenty of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess if you are going to bring some seeds to swap, mark what they are. And I remember in the past, you don't want hybrids or things that are invasive.
Nothing that's, hybrid, invasive, or any noxious plant seeds. Because that's just not good to have in Virginia or anywhere for that matter. I also wanted to mention that we have, to raise money for MAGRA, we do sell garden gloves, and these things are amazing. I've had the same pair for years. And so those are will be for sale also.
It's important to have good garden gloves.
It is. These are really good.
That's you don't often think of that, but then all of a sudden you get out, you get working, and you wish mm-hmm. you had something. And if you go on through,
yep. And a lot of the ones that you buy are real bulky, and you know it's hard to feel stuff. So these are really good. They're really well made, but they're not the super super bulky ones. You can still feel, you know, what's going on in the garden.
Yeah. Again, it is the seed swap on a Saturday, the 29th. It's from 9:30 to 1 at the Rouser Building. The Rouser Building, that's where your office is, isn't it?
Yes, Guy? That's where our extension office is. We have a classroom there, and all the various agents and support help, yeah.
So for anybody that isn't familiar with the Rouser Building, it's at 1739 Richmond Highway in Stafford.
Thank you. It's on Route 1.
Yes.
Right, but it's if you know on Route 1 where the regional jail is, it's
right there.
It's right there.
Right before
that. Yeah, it's right in that particular. If you're going north, it's going to be on your left-hand side. And there's the Log Cabin Restaurant.
Right.
That's the marker you turn at right there before.
Yeah. So it's right there.
Going north, you turn left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. The other thing about this guy, too, is just the time of year. We're kind of in the cold. It's cold and snowy, and just to start thinking about this, because before you know it, you got with some of these things, you got to be ready to go.
Absolutely. Any serious gardener knows that you have to start in the winter to think about your garden, what you're going to do. And then actually a lot of times, especially with vegetable gardens, you'll be starting the seeds sometime in February, depending on the plants and all. So, you know, you don't want to wait until the last frost date, which is what, April 15th around here, to start thinking about gardening. You really, if you're really serious about it and you really want to be successful, you need to be thinking about it now. Absolutely.
MGACRA.org is the website if you want to find out more information. MGACRA.org.
Good, Ted.
I have to keep saying that. It doesn't roll off your tongue, but
it does not.
It is the master gardeners of this area and the sixth annual seed swap. If you type in, I did find it on by Googling. I wrote seed swap Stafford and it popped right up.
Yep.
So that it is easy to find. Sixth annual seed swap. Again, it is the 29th from 9:30 to 1 at the Rouser Building in Stafford. Guy Mussey and Karen Brace here. When we come back, we're going to continue on and talk about the storms with Guy and get some insight if you had plants and things like that were impacted and trees that were impacted by the heavy snow and all. We'll talk more about that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun. Visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Guy Mussey and Karen Brace here this morning as we talk about the seed swap. Again, it is taking place on the 29th at the Rouser Building in Stafford. That's just off of Route 1. And you can get more information, mgacra.org, for the sixth annual seed swap. Again, the 29th at the Rouser Building in Stafford. A couple other things on the seed swap, and again, we'll give you all the information before we move on this morning. But you mentioned to me, Karen, about composting.
Yes. New this year, we are doing a composting display with lots and lots of information about how you can get started with composting, the purpose of composting, why it's so important. And this was actually our display at our Master Gardeners booth at the State Fair last year. So we've never had this display at the Seed Swap. So if you want to get into composting this year, it's a great way to provide organic matter for your garden or houseplants or anything. Mm-hmm. We're going to have that big display this year.
I have spent so many going out and having to put things in the compost bin. It seems like cold and rainy and nights, but it does pay off when all of that stuff breaks down and you're able to spread it out and to do things. So that's a good thing to know. General meeting for Master Gardeners is coming up next week.
Yes, that's right. Next Wednesday. Generally, we have the meetings in the evening at the library in Fredericksburg, but this the January 1 will be, I think, at 1:00. And we are not going to do it in person. We're going to do a Zoom session.
Okay.
So, again, if you're interested in you know, attending it, there is a little registration, but, of course, no fee at all. You would go to the website I gave, the stafford.ext.vt.edu, click on the local horticulture and pesticide resources button about halfway down the screen, and it will take you then to a few other links, and you can register there.
Okay, and it's always great. I've liked going to the meetings just because people will toss questions to you, and you become kind of the plant answer man.
Well, this is the one. You know, every month at their general meetings, they always have a speaker talking about something horticultural or gardening. But I usually get stuck with the one in January, and it's more of a Q&A session than anything else. I like to do a little presentation just to get the juices going. It'll be, if any questions you have on gardening, insects or anything like that, you bring them to that session.
So every year I've gone, I've gone 3 or 4 years, and so I always wait for this. So I have waited when I knew you were coming, because I can't wait any longer to ask this question. It's always the question. Every year someone asks you this, you roll your eyes and you answer it. But because usually this time of year it's cold, and people will say, well, Guy, because it's so cold now, we won't have as many bugs.
Oh,
won't, will we? And that's, you talk about myths, I guess, that you have to deal with. That seems like that's a big one.
Now you're going to get him going.
Yeah, actually, I have a background, obviously, in urban landscape entomology, and I hear that every year when it gets cold. Everyone wants to put a silver lining on, you know, a bad event, which is like single digits or teen. And so I'll be at the grocery store, something in line, and someone will say, oh, yeah, it's really cold out. Yeah, it's cold. He's, well, it's going to kill all the insects. And I, as an entomologist, you learn that the insects that live and breed here in Virginia are well adapted to our temperate zone temperatures. Now, most insects overwinter in the egg stage or in the pupal stage, which can take the cold a lot better than the adults or the larvae. There are some, there are some that it will affect, stink bugs, which overwinter as adults. That's why you get them in your house and in your garage.
I just had one last night.
Absolutely. Ladybugs. And then, of course, ticks. It will reduce that. So there is some good in it. But for the most part, the insects that live here are going to get through the cold just fine, probably better than you will.
And they find places, I guess, to just shield themselves from the cold.
Well, yeah, those that overwinter as adults will usually hide in bark in trees or in the duff in the ground to get out of the real cold weather. Of course, when you have snow on the ground, that actually is an insulating factor because it's not going to get colder than 32 degrees at the ground level. So they can get through that fairly well. And they do, there's a physiological adaptation they do too. They go into what we call diapause, which is more than just dormancy. And it kind of keeps them dormant even when it warms up. And because you don't want them waking up. If you're a bug and you're trying to get through the cold winter and it gets warm for a few days, you don't want to wake up and find there's no food and it's going to get cold again.
Yeah.
So they stay that way until spring or till things really start to warm up.
I actually have a question, Guy.
Oh, boy.
Ladybugs. There was a ton of ladybugs in my house and all over the place this year, and I noticed some without spots. So a friend of mine told me those are the invasive ladybugs.
Well, I guess 20 years ago or so, I think some communities imported Asian ladybugs. They're not invasive. They're not like that. I mean, they're still good guys. They're ladybugs. They still eat the bad insects, and they're not interfering with the populations of the native ladybug that we have here. So it's just a different species of ladybug. And ladybug is a general term, anyways. You get into the scientific name, it's a little bit different. But, I wouldn't be too concerned about them. We do get invasive species of insects and plants in Virginia that are a problem. But as far as all the experience I've had here, ladybugs is not one of them.
Okay, good.
So having the snow cover we have and with the snow melting, I guess that's good for groundwater and things, just that you have it and it just kind of slowly melts and is able to go penetrate the soil.
Oh, absolutely. It gets into the subsoil.
Yeah.
We had a period there, really dry, through November, December. It was really dry. And we needed our aquifers and all recharged.
Yeah.
Nothing better than a good heavy snow to do that, because it's a slow process. It doesn't run off all at once like a heavy rain goes into the waterways and down to the Rappahannock. A snow will percolate down into the groundwater, and certainly it is a good thing, even though we don't like driving in it and we don't like messing with it and shoveling it. It's good for us.
The one thing, were you going to say something? Oh, because you looked like you wanted to jump in, Karen. When we have the really cold weather, don't assume because of that we're not going to have as many mosquitoes in the summer.
No. I'm sorry. There's not a direct correlation there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So Guy Mussey and Karen Brace here. Guy is the Stafford Extension agent. Karen is a master gardener in the area. so many of us, just around the building here, we lost a number of bushes. I know at home I have some trees that are way leaning because of the snow last week. What did we? Are a lot of those gone? Are a lot of those going to be lost because they were pushed over?
Well, you really can't make a general assumption here. Some will come right back. I had some boxwood that was just completely looked like it was devastated. The snows melt, and they're right back. I have larger trees that are leaning, but probably won't straighten up very much. It really depends on the type of plant it is and what it is. If limbs are broken, you need to cut them off. That's all there is to it. You're not going to save them. There's no Band-Aid for them. I have this saying with, people will, with plants in general, they'll spend $10 on a plant and want to say spend $100 to save it. And I say, if the plant isn't doing what it's supposed to do outside, off with its head. If it's not doing well. So yes, we are going to lose trees and shrubs. But there are things you can do to mitigate that if possible. Sometimes you can stake a shrub up.
Yeah.
But a lot of these will, they bend pretty well, but they will come back. And I've already had that. I have pictures of that in my backyard. And I'm actually going to show that in a PowerPoint at the meeting next week, the general meeting that we talked about. Some of the damage and some of the things you can do.
So all is not lost. There are some things.
Not necessarily, right.
Because I've seen some things in my own yard. I've looked at it and I thought, I think if I cut that, I might have to cut it way back. But I think then it'll
That may regrow. Be an answer to some of the situations, yes. If it is broken or cracked or something, no. If a tree's leaning to the point where you see a bulge in the ground and the roots are pulling up, no, you're not going to save it.
Or if it's going to be a danger, if it's leaning toward a house or a car or
right.
somebody's, just...
Yeah,
you have to err on the side of safety at that point.
Go ahead.
Well, I have these arborvitae, which are evergreens, very narrow, tall. These are probably about 20 feet or so. And the tops of them were on the ground during the snowstorm. Now they're bent up. They're still bent. So I may have to get and stake them up and tie them a little bit. But they may just straighten themselves as well. I'm going to let nature take its course and see what happens.
Never thought about staking it up, though. That is an option to do.
Yeah.
What a great point, though, that you do make, Guy, that some of these plants, we didn't spend that much money to get them, and we're willing to go to great lengths to keep them when just start over if you have to.
The one thing I remember in Master Gardener class, 3 straight months with Guy, the one thing... There's a lot of information I've forgotten, but the one thing I remember is Guy's very sensitive response, some live, some die.
I can't really give that as an answer anymore as an extension agent, but when I had jobs dealing with horticulture and in charge of various things, people would always ask me, why is this dying or why is my, and I would just tell them, some live, some die.
That is a sensitive answer. That is, but that is true. That sometimes happens. It was a strange feeling last Monday when and I knew it was a much different storm than any other in going out mid morning and hearing, because we're around all kinds of trees here, and to hear and to see things coming down, and then you walk through any of our neighborhoods, to see what it looks like.
I was outside trying to shovel that as it was coming down in my driveway, and I'm telling you, it was like a war zone.
Yeah.
Bang, crack, boom, here and there, trees coming down, limbs. And my house, I live in Spotsylvania, my house is surrounded by mature oak trees. And I'm thinking, but they were, trees aren't going to just come down, especially a strong wooded tree like an oak tree, just because of the way the snow, there's usually a problem that compounds, the snow weight compounds. So my trees stood up well to it, and I was glad they did, because it could have done a lot of damage.
What is interesting, too, you go and you look at some of these trees, and you look at them, and they looked like they were healthy, but all of a sudden some of these branches come off and you see that they were dead inside.
Well, across the street, our neighbors have these Bradford pear trees. I call them genetic freaks because they have they are very prone to splitting off.
Yeah.
And you'll see that after a summer storm. Well, the snow just had a heyday with the Bradford pears in our area, and you would see half a tree now, or sometimes they broke them all the way down. Actually, right next to our house, there was one that came across the the street, and you couldn't even get around. It was a Bradford pear that broke. So there are some that will do that more easily than other trees, certainly.
It was interesting times. But again, there is hope for some of it. But like you say, if there's not, just get rid of it and
start over.
Start over. Yep. So I like that. Some live, some die. Guy Mussey, Stafford's Extension agent here, along with Karen Brace. She's a master gardener. We're talking, our main focus this morning has been the seed swap. It's coming up on the 29th at the Rouser Building in Stafford. We'll take a final break here and come back and go through all the information, what you need to know about the seed swap. It is an event that if you have any, even just a casual interest, that you really will talk to some great people and get some great stuff. And we'll talk about that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with Guy Mussey, Stafford's Extension agent, and Karen Brace, a master gardener in the area. Again, Guy, I guess to get in touch with your office, stafford.ext.vt.edu will give you all kinds of information on the extension program in the region.
Yes,
here.
And they could actually call the office at 540-658-8000, you'll get Sharon, our unit administrator there, and they can help you with things in put you to the right person.
You do things like soil, and I mean, my wife has used your office so much.
Yeah, and we can send plants in for diagnostics to the diagnostic lab at Tech. We have an insect lab. If I can't identify the insect, I could send it to our specialist. So we're there to help, you know, the homeowner or the client in any questions they have related to, as far as I'm concerned, related to gardening, mm-hmm. horticulture, or insects, or anything like that.
I was going to say, Brian, I know people that have captured bugs and taken them in, and you've been able to identify and give people advice on that kind of thing.
And those are my areas of expertise, but even if you have questions, I get farm-related questions, pasture-related questions. We have agents that I can put you in touch with. We have an animal science agent in Spotsylvania, Kaylee Mize, who deals with the animal science thing. So if you have questions like that, we can get you the right answer.
Now, the Virginia Cooperative Extension Service is just a great resource in this area that I think that a lot of people don't realize is around and utilize it.
It's the best kept secret there is.
It is, and well, in the same sense, Karen, and the guy too, the master gardeners, same thing.
Yes.
Just a great organization that does a lot, but you can learn a lot. And again, the website for that is mgacra.org. And besides the seed swap that we're going to close out the show with, there's a symposium coming up soon.
Right. Yep, every spring the master gardeners have a symposium. And this is the 10th annual Living in the Garden Symposium. It's called Made for the Shade. It is April 2nd from 8:30 to 3:30, and it is held at Gary Melcher's home and studio.
Over at Belmont.
Yeah. So if anybody has never been there before, it's a great way to see that as well. But there will be three speakers. Bryce Lane actually has two topics. It's Heads Up Gardening, the importance of light in plant growth. Jenny Rose Carey is going to talk about designing glorious shade gardens. Bryce has another lecture on shade-tolerant plants that add color and texture. A lot of times people think that shade plants are just green and they're sort of, you know, boring. So that should be a very interesting lecture. And then Jeffrey Reinhardt is going to talk about shade-tolerant lawn options.
Okay. So again, that symposium is April the 2nd. Again, just go to that Master Gardener website and
exactly.
You can find out all kinds of information on that. Again, the seed swap is the 29th, 9:30 to 1, Rouser Building, Route 1 in Stafford. And it's not just seeds. It was one of the takeaways from today?
Right. Like I said, there'll be plenty of free seeds, but there's also seed catalogs, different gardening handouts, the plant clinic. We have the garden gloves for sale, books, cookbooks, magazines, if you have flower pots, tools, if you have cuttings. And again, if you don't have any of those things, but you want to come and just meet the master gardeners, learn about the program, see whatever you can, you know, find that floats your boat, because we have to pick up and deal with anything that's left. So the more everybody can come and
take,
the better.
Now, the years that I have come, you see a lot of the same people, and they look forward to this. And so often we've come away with in my own house, and I'll say, "What is that?" And I'll hear the answer will be that we got that from your seed swap friend. So that's you, Karen. You're my among many about the many hats that you wear. Before we wrap this up, you also come in here often with your possum friends, and you're getting ready to open up a store downtown.
I am. So Awesome Possums is my rescue and education business, but we are branching out, and I'm hoping early March, I am going to open a retail store called, wait for it, Possumbilities, downtown Fredericksburg on William Street. And
it's like a dad joke.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's my sense of humor. So if you know where the candy store is, the Sweet Sheep Candy Store on William Street at 211 William Street, right next to the rec center, I am going to have the entire second floor of the candy store. So it's going to be wildlife and nature-related gift items. There's also going to be a lot of local art that's going to be displayed there, wildlife and nature-related art. It's big enough. We're going to do, of course, possum presentations, wildlife presentations. But I've partnered with Fred Parent Magazine. Leanne and her crew is great. So we are going to do all sorts of neat kids programs and adult programs and all sorts of cool things.
Okay, and we'll talk more about that as it gets a little closer. Again, stafford.ext.vt.edu to find out more about the Virginia Cooperative Extension Program. Guy, thank you for what you do, because you're a treasure and a resource in the community.
Well, thank you, Ted. This is the highlight of my day today.
This has been fun. It's always fun to talk about this kind of thing. And really, when it starts warming up and you've got questions about your yard or bugs or anything,
you're
the person. And the master gardeners are right out there, too. Thank you both. Again, the seed swap on the 29th. 9:30 to 1 at the Rouser Building. Show up for a while. You'll stay longer than you expect, and you will not regret it. The Master Gardener website, by the way, mgacra.org. Guy Mussey, Karen Brace, thanks. See you soon.
Thank you,
Ted.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.